A few years ago, I spoke with the adults at a Wednesday night Bible study about child development, specifically looking at child development from a gospel lens and how that can help inform our parenting. So I would like to nerd out for a few minutes and share some of that information again, hopefully in a little bit more abbreviated format. But as I've mentioned, these short recordings are to give you a little taste of a topic which can be continued by discussion with you and your friends or with me, or just want us to get us talking. So here are a few things that I know and believe about child development. Number one, every child is unique. Number two, development follows a pattern. Number three, that pattern points to how God designed us. That's the coolest. And number four, understanding development honors God's design, and it can help guide our parenting and our interactions with all children. So let's think about these things a little bit more. Every child is unique. I mean, why wouldn't they be? Think about our Creator God and His infinite wisdom and His amazing nature as Creator. Stop for just a minute and think about the largest thing that comes to your mind, the largest thing that God made. Okay, now think about, well, maybe the largest thing that comes to your mind. We probably can't even fathom the largest thing that God made. But anyway, so now stop and think about the smallest thing that comes to mind. Okay, now look at your thumb. Turn it over the other way. Look at your thumbprint. Of all people who have ever lived, and there are currently about 8 billion people on our planet, not a single one has ever been found to share an identical fingerprint with anyone else. Whoa, that makes me in awe. That's our creative God. And it's not just fingerprints or other physical characteristics. Every person who has ever been born is unique. Each one of our children is uniquely crafted, is a uniquely crafted, one-of-a-kind masterpiece of our Heavenly Father. Y'all, just think about that for a moment. So, with this understanding of our child's or children's uniquenesses, let's think of ways that can help guide our parenting. I know that I've often compared children to others and wondered, why does this child do things so differently than everybody else? That's always fun, really, genuinely fun. And why, when we have an understanding of God's creativity, do we expect our kiddos to be just like everyone else? I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one who has done that kind of comparing, but it's something to note. In addition to differences in physical attributes and skills, intelligences, and personalities, there are also differences in developmental progress. Think about the developmental charts you see at pediatric visits. There are ranges listed for milestones like crawling, walking, first words, making friends. Those ranges show differentiation. They show some differences. If every child was exactly the same, the chart would say something like, this will happen at 12 months and 2.5 days. But there are individual differences in development which occur for a variety of reasons. I won't nerd out and go down the trail of that, but just know that each child is unique, including their progression through developmental stages. Which brings me to my next belief about child development. It follows a pattern. Children may walk at different ages from their siblings, or they may be able to write their name earlier than maybe their cousin. The stages that happened before and after each milestone is fairly static. There are sometimes slight variations. Sometimes children don't crawl before they stand up and start walking, but that's unusual. As a general rule, for typically developing children, development happens in the same order. And so that's always just kind of as a general rule. That's what you can expect. A child sits up before pulling up and walks before running. There is a pattern to the child's development across all areas, physical, cognitive, and social and emotional. The really cool thing about this pattern is that it demonstrates to us God's incredible design. Stay with me. I'm getting to my point, I promise. When we understand that our great Father is infinitely created, and He created each one of our children and each of us uniquely, and that the pattern stages that children experience point to His design, it helps us to stop and think that there's a specific purpose for each stage of development, like each one. We understand that our babies cry because they don't yet have the capacity for expressive language. And we know that God made them to be dependent on us for care. Yet our loving Father gave even babies a way to express themselves and their needs. When our toddlers want to do everything their own way all by themselves, and often with some challenging attitudes, we can stop and recognize that this is a very important stage in which they are learning to be their own persons, the ones that God designed them to be, and they are developing independence and confidence and new abilities. I promise there is a reason for each stage of development, no matter how confusing or how frustrating. There is a purpose behind sometimes even the most stubborn things that you experience. So, which leads to my final belief. Understanding these stages and the purposes behind each, they can help us to parent our children in ways that recognize that amazing design within them. I'd love to share with you just a brief overview of some of these. You can find developmental charts online. And if you would like some ideas how to best support your child's development in a particular stage, or how to best keep your hair and sanity through a particular stage, I'd love to talk with you about it. But here's a small overview. So during infancy, children communicate through cries and other sounds that they make. A coo helps us know that our child is content, right? During this stage, the mode of learning is through senses and through movement. When we allow our babies to have time in a crib or on a blanket on the floor, either both on their backs and then especially on their tummies, that will help them develop physically, but it's also as they reach and stretch and watch and hone their senses, they are learning. These experiences are vital to healthy development. When a baby is on his or her tummy, make sure that you are nearby and monitoring. That's important. That the younger a baby is, the shorter amount of time for this type of independent learning. Just make sure that as they start to express discomfort, pick them up, hold them, or move them into a different position. You might notice that younger babies don't seem to mind if mom hands them over to somebody else and leaves the room, but then all of a sudden, right, at a certain time, that seems to be a problem. As little ones are developing object permanence, they understand that mom still exists. Like before, they didn't get this. Mom is great. They want mom. But when they get to this stage where they develop object permanence, it's, wait a second, where's mom? And she's not holding me. And that creates distress. Though the separation anxiety caused by this new development is tough, it serves a purpose. And the next highlight of this stage points us to how we need to respond. During infancy, we want our children to develop a sense of trust. They can count on somebody to care for them. When a baby feels cared for, it is certainly easier for them to later understand that they have a loving Father who can be trusted. When we show that we can be trusted and we're pointing them to God, they can understand that there is a loving Father who can be trusted. A secure attachment with a trusted caregiver helps our child to develop faith. So whether it's in the youngest infancy or is it as they start having that separation anxiety, all of these things point to our careful and loving care of them, which helps set the stage for their spiritual development. So next, we're going to stop at toddlerhood. Already mentioned that our kiddos at this age are developing independence. We are often not ready for that. We're not ready for it because we want our babies to stay babies, and we're not ready for it because it complicates everything, right? Everything. Can I get an amen to that? But if we understand what our children need to accomplish during this stage, it can help us to plan for or how to avoid or work through the challenges, okay? We can support a toddler's growing need for independence by giving them choices, simple choices like asking, hey, would you like to wear your sneakers or your boots? And then allowing them their choice, even if that means sandals on Sunday mornings, that's absolutely fine, right? We can also give them appropriate tasks to do, such as picking up their blocks, like monitoring, modeling how to pick up things, or how to put their socks in the drawer. Very simple tasks like that. Little ones are learning not only how to, but they are learning that they are capable and they are contributing to the family. Y'all, this is important. I hope to talk about the importance of chores in a later recording, but we'll skip that for right now. But our toddlers are also talking a lot. We can support that by allowing them to do so. Have conversations every time you can. Please put away those tablets and let those just be a special treat if needed. A screen cannot assist communication skills. They cannot build communication skills the way that talking with other family members does. Just take a few moments for yourself here and there to enjoy some quiet. That's also important. But try to remember to enjoy the questions and the random conversations. These moments also have a big, big purpose. Their brains are growing rapidly. Children in this stage are unable yet. They're not yet is a good word, but they are not able yet to take the perspectives of another person. We work to help them develop that by pointing out how others feel or what others need. But understand, this is a big work in progress. If you'd like to talk about, and this is one thing that I have some thoughts on, apologies in toddlerhood, which seems to be questionable. But I'd love to talk with you through how do we help our children be genuine and understand truth-telling when they may or may not really be sorry for something that they did. But that comes from that needing to develop that perspective taking. So we can help our toddlers flourish by helping our little ones develop autonomy and independence and just supporting those good, strong things that they want to do all by themselves. We can help with that. Sometimes that just means planning a little differently, giving ourselves a little bit more time to get out the door. So, y'all, preschool comes next. It's one of my very favorite times. I don't know if it was because it contains some of my favorite memories in my own childhood, maybe because of the many preschoolers that I got to teach over the years. But preschool is great. This is when we see the development of what we call executive function skills. These are things like watching our preschoolers making plans. That's so much fun. What are we going to do for dinner? When my friend comes over to play, these are the things that we're going to play together. The next time I go to my Nana's house, this is what I'm going to do. They're making plans. They are developing focus. They remember what happened, and sometimes they will even remember sometimes what you tell them to do. If you are intentional about giving instructions, preschoolers can even put on their coats and meet you out the door. That's like two different things that they're holding at the same time, two different bits of information, which is why they can tell you that they have five red blocks. They can hold the number and the color identifiers at the same time, and also as well that they have blocks. Preschoolers are just fun and they're funny. And it seems like there is a learning explosion happening at this age. It was happening before, but there's something about preschool that it's just very noticeable with the amount of knowledge that they're grabbing. typically, if they're able, if given the opportunity, they take care of themselves a little bit. They can get themselves dressed. They can brush their teeth. They can put away their toys. They're making friends. Through these things, they are developing a sense of initiative. That means I can take charge. I can do it. They can take charge of age-appropriate things. And this is a very good thing. We want them to be able to take charge. This is the way God made them. We support this type of learning by listening to their ideas, by giving them tasks to do, which supports their growing skills. And we can celebrate that rapidly growing list of knowledge and accomplishments. This is a really good thing. And this is also a very sweet time for spiritual development because they can retain and retell stories. And they have that childlike understanding and soak up stories of God's love and plan for His children. What a beautiful stage of development. Then the next stage is when children get to that school age, first early and then later elementary. While the friends take center stage, parents have to make room for this new part in their children's lives. There are more influences beyond home. It's very important for us to be aware of those influences. We can help our children care for others. We can help them understand that rules are for our benefit. Each rule has a purpose. Each child has a purpose. Let's relish in seeing how these purposes begin to emerge. You'll see one child who has a great sense of justice and wanting to make sure everyone is treated fairly. You might see, have a child who is a big, deep thinker and wants to understand how everything works. You will see our little social butterfly friends, our athletes, our artists and musicians. One child may have an insatiable appetite for reading and another wants to pet every animal he comes across. What an exciting time to wonder if all of the things the Lord has in store for our children and wonder about those things as we're seeing these preferences develop in the things that they want to do and the things that they love. It's an exciting time as we remember God's promise to be God to us and to our children. As frustrations occur, let's focus on the end game here. And school age years do contain their own frustrations, different from toddlerhood, but certainly there are some, but let's focus on the end game. How can we demonstrate God's love and mercy toward us? While we show our kiddos that we are all sinners in need of grace, teaching them how to repent, how to follow Christ, and how to recognize that uniqueness as a gift, not as something that separates them or makes them feel weird, but oh my goodness, it's a gift. It's a tall order, y'all. During these elementary school years, we want our children to develop a sense of responsibility. Big deal. Responsibility and purpose. We want them to gain competence. We want them to develop a sense of accomplishment in the jobs well done. And we want them to be confident that they have so much to contribute. There's so much going on during the elementary years, and they have so many opportunities to do these things. And we have opportunities to walk beside them and to guide them. We can keep pointing them to their loving Savior as they grow and develop. And also we point them to Savior as they have disappointments and heartbreak. All of these joys and the sorrows can be taken to the Lord. And parents, try not to worry so much. I am still preaching that to myself, y'all. Still with grown children, I preach to myself that the Lord loves my children way more than I do. May we all trust Him. From infancy to elementary and beyond, we can remember that each child is unique, that development follows a pattern, that this pattern points us to God's design, and that understanding God's design for development can inform and guide our parenting decisions. All is for His glory, and may He be pleased with our efforts. And I just want to remind you, you're going to screw up. We all do. We screw up when we are when we're raising our children because we're human. But our kiddos see that we are parents who can admit errors. They will see that we are parents who can apologize and we can repent and take everything to our Heavenly Father because He loves us and we can trust Him. So I do hope that this little overview of development will help you. I didn't go into a whole lot of details, just wanted to make you think about the purposes of each stage through elementary school. I've got more if any high school parents are listening. I've got some ideas and understanding of that development as well. But I would love for this to lead to more questions and more discussions. I'm happy to talk. Hang in there, guys. Thanks for listening.